Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
For some time now, we have been speaking on the subject, power of godliness, and our test scripture has been from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we read beginning from verse 7, in which Paul instructed Timothy not to waste time with things that would not benefit, but to exercise himself, he said, for the purpose of godliness. And the reason he said is because godliness has profit. He said that bodily discipline has a little profit, but godliness is more profitable exceedingly than that. That's what he was saying, in that it's profitable for all things. He said it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life that is to come. Now, that's what he said are the characteristics of godliness. And we have seen a number of points from there. We have seen the fact that godliness is discipline. We have to discipline ourselves for that purpose. It doesn't come to us naturally. David said, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of God." That is, it doesn't have to be what you are born with. It doesn't have to be your natural tendency. We have established the fact that we must learn to approve the things that are excellent and discipline ourselves so as to walk in a manner that is excellent. And why Paul also explained this, because he has a promise. And the promise is twofold. He said, number one, he has a promise for the present life, and he also has a promise for the life that is to come. Whether we like it or not, there is a day of judgment. Paul said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And in that judgment seat of Christ, he's going to judge us according to the things that we did while we were on earth. So he said, godliness has a promise for the life that is to come. Now, so those are the things that we have said about the issue of godliness, that he also has a promise for the present life, that, and I'm going to explain some of those things further today. And I know later, last time I explained something, and which was my main point the last time, that he said there's a statement, we read from verse 9, that this statement is worthy of full acceptance. He said it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. I refer to the fact that Charles Spurgeon pointed out that about four times Paul used the expression faithful saying, trustworthy statement. So when I went to the other one, and I showed us a number of things, and that one is from the book of Titus chapter 3, and I'm going to look at those two things again today to continue from where we stopped. Now, from Titus chapter 3, in verse 8, he also said this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want to speak confidently, Paul said to Timothy. Now, what are the trustworthy statements here? He said that we were foolish at the time, ourselves were disobedient, but Christ came, or I said, but the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, and what he did was to save us, not on the basis of our own righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I explained this in detail, and I just like to review it for a few more minutes. And that's the fact that you cannot by yourself struggle into that godliness. We have established the fact that godliness is discipline, is something we have to aspire to, and thereby attain by strong desire and working towards it. But I said that it is possible to know what is right, what is godly to do, but not have the ability, the power to do them. So that's where God comes in. That's where the power of the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. I said he is the savior of the world. Paul was saying here that this is a true statement, that there is a washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, which God pours upon us richly through Christ our Savior. That is the natural tendencies to do evil. If we will submit it before the Lord Jesus Christ, the tendency to do evil that has come into us, maybe because of how we were hurt in the past, how we've been violently treated, how we have been taken advantage of, that has caused us to react negatively to the world. If we will submit those things before the Lord Jesus Christ, there is what the Bible calls the regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, all right, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is indeed able to save us from our sins, not just the consequences of the sin, but the tendency to do sin. What he does is to wash us free of all unrighteousness. So if we submit ourselves before him, he can indeed work in us so that we become clean inside out. That is, it's not just a matter of religion in which I try by myself to do that which is right, but that the tendency to do right is placed inside me so that without much effort, I naturally naturally come out doing that which is right. I gave examples that if a man is on drugs, if he's on heroin, it's very difficult to get him off. He may have to go for rehabilitation again and again and again. But if the power of the Lord Jesus Christ were to touch that kind of person, what he will find out is that the power of God working in him will remove the craving for drugs even without his trying. That is, he will have to make an extra effort to be able to go back into the former habit. And that's how it is with the power of Christianity. That is what is important about Christianity. It is not just that it teaches us how to do good. Before Jesus Christ taught the Sermon on the Mount, people had taught things that were similar to the Sermon on the Mount. What was different? What is different in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is that John said that the law may have come by other people, Moses specifically was saying, but that we could have known the law through different means. Other people could have taught us the law. But the only person who grace and truth came by is Jesus. And grace and truth means that he gives us the power to obey what we have come to know intellectually as the law. And even things that we may not have known intellectually as the law, we also have the power to do that which is right. Now, I'm continuing from there today. There's something else I want to point out from that 1 Timothy chapter 4. Which we have been reading, and this time around is in verse 10. All right, he said, For this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men. And this is what Paul was trying to explain. He said, now, we have talked about godliness. I'm going to that verse 10. We have talked about godliness, the fact that it has profit. Now, he said, because we know that this is a trustworthy statement concerning godliness, we now labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Now, the same thing is reflected in the book of Titus chapter 3. I just want to bring that out. Now, he said in verse 8, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. Now, listen, these things are good and profitable for men. Notice, let me read that again. This is Titus chapter 3, verse 8. It said, speak about these things confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things, that is the doing of good deeds, are good and profitable for men. Now, what I want to bring out from here, that we have to be careful to do good works. Now, you see, there's something about the promises of God, and I want to explain it. Now, there is a way spiritual things work. Now, God desires to bless us in life. Now, the Bible talks about seed time and harvest. Bear that in mind. But another thing the Bible says is the fact that God is just. That is, God is a righteous person. What does it mean to be just? God rewards good and punishes evil. That's the meaning of the expression when you say God is just. It means that if he sees good, he will reward it. And if he sees evil, he will punish it. And anything apart from that is not just. That will be injustice. Therefore, when God wants to bless people, he has established a principle. He said, seed time and harvest will not cease. Therefore, if God wants to bless somebody, there must be seed in the heart, in the life of the person, so as to bring forth harvest. I was teaching something a few Saturdays ago in our ministry office, and I explained the principle there about seed time and harvest. That is, anything God wants to bring into your life first comes as a seed. Now, but there's something about it, because I would like to correct an attitude in the heart of people. See, God judges even the motivation when he's judging seed. Let me explain that. Because there is this thing we have come to misinterpret the principle of seed time and harvest concerning. And that's the fact that we feel that if I want a car, I will go and give out maybe a spare tire, and that will one day God will multiply it and give me a car. If I want 100,000 naira, I'll probably give an offering of 500 naira, which is what I have, believing that God will breathe upon that 500 naira and then give me 100,000 naira. Now, on the surface, it may appear like, yes, it's seed time and harvest. That when the farmer sows a seed, he knows what to expect at harvest. But I always like to explain something to people, that spiritual things are types. That is, when God wants to explain spiritual things, he uses physical types that we can relate with. But those types are not always an exact representation of the spiritual form. What I mean is this. If God says that, for example, he wants to talk about the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will tell you that he is a lion of the tribe of Judah. If he wants to talk about the fact that Satan is dangerous, he will tell you that he's prowling around seeking who he may devour as a lion also. So you will see that though he likens the Lord Jesus to a lion and also likens Satan to a lion, they are not the same people at all. It's just that each time there are characteristics in each individual that is reflected or that is shown by the life of the lion that God wants to explain. So we talk about the righteous being bold as a lion. Jesus will say that be wise as serpent. At the same time, the same person should be as harmless as a dove. That is, there are qualities in the serpent that you should know, and there are qualities in the dove that you should emulate. Now, you see, therefore, that the principle of types puts limits on what we are saying. What I'm trying to bring out here is this. When the Bible talks about seed time and harvest, we often misinterpret it to mean that if I want plenty corn, I will go and put into the soil plenty corn. Therefore, if I want a car, I should go and put something towards it into the ground. Therefore, we monetize everything and say the seed for everything in life, all right, is money. Please, let me explain something to you. It is not true. You cannot give off money as the seed for everything you want in life. Now, this is a matter of fact. I'm trying to explain the issue that Paul explained that godliness has a reward. He explained that the righteous men, believers, should learn to do good works. He said, because these things are good and profitable for men. But I want to bring out something there about this good and profitable, or the doing of good works. Now, every good work you do in life is a seed. That's what I'm trying to explain. But you see, you cannot tell what the harvest for each seed will be. In fact, I have a scripture to explain that. Now, that's from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. If you read in verse 6, it says, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening. For you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. Now, well, what do I want to use? I want to bring out the fact that it is not possible for us as believers to know exactly what it is that we bring forth our harvest. I like to say something. You see, we sometimes act presumptuously. We want to get up and say, okay, now maybe I need a suit. I'll go and give out an offering of a tie. Please, that is not Christianity. It doesn't work like that. If you need something, what the Bible says you should do is to ask, all right? You have not, James said, because you ask not. Now, please listen to what I'm going to bring out. I'm bringing out a very serious issue here. That good works are profitable. And Ecclesiastes is telling us here, therefore, we should do them continually. I said that God judges motive when he's judging seed. That's one of the things that's different between the physical type of seed and sowing and the spiritual antitype of good works and the harvest thereof. Now, when you are sowing your corn into the ground does not judge your motivation. But God judges the motives of the heart when he's going to reward people. If you read in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, he said, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. That is, if I do something physically, the motive behind what I am doing is still judged by God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So if I give an offering towards my car, God knows that I have not given an offering. I'm only thinking about myself. I call that the labor of selfishness. What the Bible rewards, if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 6, it said God is not unjust so as to forget your labor of love. Now, what God remembers and he rewards is the labor of love. What you do for the purpose of being a blessing to somebody else, not what you do for the purpose of getting back for yourself. He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind, I check what is going on through in your mind when you are doing what you are going to do. Now, I've not forgotten what I said, that good works, godliness, are you getting me, has reward. He said, having a promise for the life that now is. And I'm explaining this, that when God wants to bring forth good into our lives, he allows us to do works of good towards that good. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, listen, your works in life speak for you before the judgment throne of God. I need to go over that spiritual principle again. This is how life is. Now, God is always sitting on the throne as judge, and what your life experiences is the judgment of God. Let me explain that. That is, if you are going to be promoted, it will be because God gave an instruction that you should be promoted. If you are going to live long, it will be because God gave the word for long life in your direction. And if you are going to die early, be sickly, and be retarded in prosperity, it will be because God judged that that's what will be your portion. Now, God is kind, but he's also just. I'm trying to bring out something here. There's a judgment seat of Christ, which we all appear in at the end of our days. But in every day, there is judgment that is coming forth. You'll see the case of Job. Now, Satan went forth before the judgment throne of God. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? You will see that before Satan could afflict Job, it was based on negotiation between him and God. Now, get what I'm going to explain here. I've said it again and again, I should say it again. Satan does not have any inherent power in himself. What he has is the power to tempt. When he has tempted us and we are falling for that temptation, he will now take our sin in accusation before the judgment throne of God. That is why he earned the name, the accuser of the brethren. Now, the works that we are doing is therefore used against us if they are negative. That's why Paul is explaining here that those who have believed must be careful to do good deeds. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. You say, what about the power of the blood of Jesus? This is what he does. He cleanses away your past. And number two, when you do that which is wrong and you confess it before God, because I said God is just, nothing is free with God. What I mean by nothing is free is this. Anytime God forgives, it is not because he just overlooks and cancels. It is because somebody made the payment. It is because Jesus made the payment. And that is what the blood of Jesus is for. When you sin and you confess your sin, the Bible says that we have an advocate with the Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our confession of sin allows him to take the blood of Jesus and wipe away the consequences of that sin, so that Satan can no longer use it against us. But our good works, Paul said, is very important. And we're talking about good works here. That is, God created us. I said something earlier. When he was going to make man, he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion. If a man is not walking in the image and the likeness of God, he cannot have dominion. So the seed for dominion is a godly work in the image and the likeness of God. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And Paul is explaining here that we must be careful to do that which is good. As you walk about in life, you will be doing that which is good, and these things will be used as part of the judgment for your life. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. But that's the power of good works. It is one of those things that is spoken in our favor before the judgment seat of God. And I was saying something earlier that, you see, though our good works, they are seeds, you cannot really tell which good work is the seed for what. Are you getting what I'm saying? You really can't tell. I'll give you an example of the Shunammite woman. Now, this woman was a woman who didn't have a child, and the Bible testifies that her husband was old. Now, this was his good works, listen, for the delivery of her child. She didn't have a child, her husband was old. But she saw a prophet of God, and the man used to walk by them every day. And she was a wealthy woman, the wife of a wealthy husband. So she spoke to her husband and said, let us show hospitality to this prophet of God. Now, listen to this. She did not have anything for herself in mind. She just had respect for the office of the prophet. So they built a small guest room for the man so that the man could stay there anytime he's passing by. Now, because of the amount of kindness that she has showed to them, Elisha now asks, what do we do for her? They called her. She said, I don't need anything. My husband is rich. I live amongst my people. I'm not afraid of anybody. My husband is very influential. I have a lot of security around me. Then she left. That was when the servant of the prophet now said, this woman does not have a child. Then the prophet now spoke as a reward for her good works. He said, watch it. By this time next year, you will embrace a son. I'm bringing out something here. What some of us think is that we have to consciously go and sow a seed for that son. No, this woman did a good work, all right, without knowing that that will be the fruit. I am saying this, that spiritual seeds, except God speaks it to you clearly, does not warn you ahead of time of what the fruit will be. That was why Solomon warned. He said, sow your seed in the morning, and at night do not withhold back your hand. That is, every time do that which is good. It is accumulating to your credit before the throne of God. Let me say another thing again. That's the exact opposite. When we do that which is evil, we are again accumulating judgment for ourselves. I've said this again and again to those who are in business. Maybe you are trading. Cheap things, I've heard traders say it again and again. They say the inferior good is the one that sells. Listen, if you want to sell that which is inferior, display it as a low quality good. You understand what I mean? And with low quality price, so that the person buying it knows that he made a choice to buy a low quality equipment or a low quality appliance. When you put it in your shop, then you deceive people by putting a high quality price on it so that somebody pays thinking it's getting something that is high quality. Listen, you have sown a seed of evil and it will germinate for you one day. The day the thing breaks down, the man will look at you and say, ah, this man, God will punish him. He just says it without even thinking about you. But those words have gone into the atmosphere and they are going to be used against you when judgment will pass upon your business. They might be used against you when judgment will pass upon your marriage. You don't know where it will come back to you. Please, I want you to get that point. Spiritual seeds, we don't know what they will produce.
Every day, therefore, we are supposed to exercise ourselves in doing that which is good and abhorring that which is evil. If you find something to be evil, take your hands off it. If you have done any evil in the past, then you pray to God for forgiveness. I am talking about the power of godliness. Satan, I said, has a power of death. When I say the power of death, you say, but Pastor Bank, you say Satan doesn't have any power in himself. Listen to what I'm saying. When a man has sinned and he is due for judgment, Satan is the jailer that God uses to punish him for his sin. Are you getting my point? That is why he goes up to the throne of God, having tempted a man, and starts making accusation because of the sin of that man. And except you have mercy being spoken for you, except you have, and listen to me, this is very important. Some people will think that, okay, I have done a lot of evil works in the past. Let me do good works now to counteract it. Let me say something to you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, that theory of doing good works and then so as to counteract the former evil works, it appears reasonable, and actually to a small extent, it can work. If you go and read the scriptures, you will find out that when Nebuchadnezzar was due for judgment, Daniel told him that start doing good, forget doing evil, peradventure God might lengthen the days of your prosperity. So we know that spiritually, there's a likelihood that it will work a bit, but there is a problem. Listen to this. One day a man was preaching to his friends, I read this in a tract, and they were describing just what I've said now, that how do you think judgment is going to be like? They said they will weigh all your negative works and weigh all your positive works, and then whatever the balance is what you will get. And the man says something. He said, that is very true. That makes a lot of sense if we exactly know what each thing weighs. Do you understand my point? That is, for example, if I told a lie, what is the weight of lying? As opposed to when I give something to a man who is in need, what is the weight? What balances out what? Let me say this to you clearly. Nobody knows and God does not tell. Listen, that is why he commands us to do good works, number one. But number two, or this should actually be number one, he demands that we come to him for forgiveness by the power of the blood of Jesus, and then forget doing evil works entirely, so that only good will be spoken for us, not trying to balance it. So that, because you see, sometimes, I'll give an example. You know, when I was a very young man, doing in secondary school, a friend of mine was trying to explain why God was partial, in that God forgive David when God did not forgive Saul, and that David actually sinned more than Saul did. And he tried to show me examples of the sins that David committed and God forgave, and the one that Saul committed and God did not forgive, and the man died because of his sin. Now, as a young person, me too, I was confused. But later on, as I grew up, I found out that the way God weighs things differ. For example, for to the human being, disobedience is not a very serious thing. Do you understand my point? Adultery is probably more wicked in the eye of a human being than disobedience to a clear cut instruction from God. But when God was going to judge, he said, listen, that disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft. Are you getting my point? And witchcraft was an abomination, all right, in the nation of Israel. So when God was judging, and then again, he said, if he reprove a man and he hardens his heart, God said, that's a very wicked sin in the judgment of God. So when Samuel went to Saul to go and convict him of his sin, and he resisted the conviction of Samuel, his judgment was heavy. Are you getting my point? It is not possible for us to, as human beings, to know the weight of sin and the weight of good works, so as to say, let me balance it. That's what a lot of us try to do. You know, we go to the market, we cheat, we lie, we steal. And then when we go to church, we give a big offering, hoping to impress God that, listen, you know, even all this stealing I've been stealing, it is you I'm stealing for. We become a modern-day Robin Hood. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, it does not work. That's why I want to emphasize something again about that power of the blood of Jesus. The thing about the blood of Jesus, which I know, which I'm speaking to you confidently about, is that it has the power to wash away any weight of sin. He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Listen, Christianity is not just about church, about the name you bear. It is about your sin being washed away. It is about you becoming a cleansed person and therefore being able to walk in the plan and purpose of God for your life. It is about the negative things that are weighing against you before the judgment throne of God being removed, so that only the positive works now remain. Are you getting my point? I am talking about the power of godliness. Now, so let me conclude what I've been trying to explain. So even those of us who have been forgiven, those of us who have believed, Paul said, we must be careful to do that which is good, because it is a good thing to do, and it has a reward for the life that now is and that which is to come. You know, God called Abraham, and when Abraham believed God, the Bible said it was accounted to him for righteousness. So he was one who had believed, and he was a righteous man. But when God wanted to really bless him, then he gave him a test. The tests of God are not to push us into iniquity, but they are the opportunities given to us in life to do that which is good so that God might bless us. I said something before, everything your life will experience will be consequent upon something that will happen beforehand. That is, when the nation of Israel abandoned the building of the temple of God, the heavens above them became dry, and the earth refused to yield its increase. You are getting the point. But that's on the negative side. And when the nations that were in the land of Canaan sinned by committing all kinds of abominations, idol worship and sexual immorality, the land, the Bible says, vomited up the inhabitants because of what they did. But on the side of good, the same thing occurs. When God was now going to take Abraham and propel him into the realm of greater blessings, he tempted him to sacrifice his only son to him. Are you getting my point? That is, he asked him to do something good. And when Abraham was willing to sacrifice everything for God, because of the faith that he had in God, God now said, because of this thing you have done, in blessing, I will bless you. Let me even backtrack a few years and see how that song came in the first place. And that's something about the promise of God, so that we don't get confused. When God gives promises, what he's saying in effect is that these are the things I will do in your life if you walk with me and you are perfect. You have heard me preach. You have heard other people preach. You've read books. You've gone to church, and you see all the time pastors will declare, 2008, your year of breakthrough. 2009, your year of breakthrough. 2007 was said, your year of breakthrough. And you wonder after a while that are these people telling the truth or they are just psyching us up? Well, some people may be psyching you, but the fact is that when you hear such words all the time, the Spirit of God is probably in the air, issuing those words forth in different places. But the fulfillment thereof, they are not automatic. What is God saying? He's saying, these are the things I will do in your life if you cleanse yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit and you perfect holiness in the fear of God. What am I saying? God gave a promise to Abraham. Over the years, he was training Abraham in good works. And when he was going to finally pour forth the promise, it was the day that Abraham entertained strangers without knowing they were angels. That is, he gave food to the person who was stranded. He gave help to the person that needed help. He did not even know that was the seed that was going to break forth upon him as the birth of Isaac. He had been believing God all the years, but he didn't know that was the day. That was the day God now called him aside and spoke to him face to face. This time next year, I will return and your wife will deliver. Now, get what I'm going to say. Did he have a promise? Yes. But did God need his good works to cooperate with his faith to bring forth the promise? Yes. And that was what James was saying. He said his works cooperating his faith made him justified. Our works, I'm explaining, they are important. We have believed God for great things for our nation. You have believed God for great things for your home, for your marriage, for your children, for your business. Listen to me, that's one of the reasons why things might take time in manifestation. Every day, God is giving you the opportunity to do that which is right. Godliness has power. That's what I'm explaining. He said, I have made you in my image and in my likeness so that you might have dominion. Therefore, if you want to have dominion, you must learn to walk in my image and in my likeness, and then I will pour dominion upon you. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by that message. This has been a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, and has been brought to you on the bill of friends and co-workers of the ministry. For more information and for free downloads of books, audio messages, and other materials, please visit us on the web at kingdomword-ng.org. We recommend that you spend more time with these teachings on books and CDs. Our MP3 CDs contain up to 10 messages each or even more. For more information about the ministry, call 0808-260-9588. That is 0808-260-9588. Remember the times of this broadcast, 8:30 p.m. on Mondays and 7:30 p.m. on Thursdays. Do invite someone to listen in with you, and until next time, may the Lord be with you.